Log Talk Radio.
I am your host, Paul Gannon. For the next 2 hours, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. And if you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And you can send messages to the show on Twitter. And while you're there on Twitter, give me a follow on Twitter, at GoForAgant. I follow back. And also you can send messages to the show on Twitter, and we'll read them on the air. So send us a message. We'll read it on the air, and have a good old time. Big show lined up for you today. Expected to be joined by our NFL analyst, Hall of Famer Willie Rofe. We're going to talk to Willie about all things NFL, Tebow and Sanchez, Romo, the Saints situation, 30 for 30 players in terms of their money, and some of the other big matchups lined up here in week five. Also, we're going to talk to some of the stars of the 30 for 30 broke, the ESPN 30 for 30 movie Broke, which aired this past week. We're going to be joined by Keith McCants, former NFL linebacker. And Keith was big time on that show and talked about his life as he's run into some money problems, some money issues. Also, we're going to be joined by Cliff Floyd, former Major League Baseball player, now Miami Marlins analyst. And we're going to talk to him. He also was on that 30 for 30 Broke movie on ESPN. He also was there, and we're going to talk to him about that as well. And we're also going to bring in a guy that we had on this summer, a guy as he was preparing for the NFL draft. But he made it now. He is on a roster. And we're going to bring in Johnny Hecker, punter for the St. Louis Rams. I mean, he was tremendous the other night. He was a big part of the big reason why the Rams won that football game. I mean, he changed the field position more often than not in that particular football game, had an average of 56 yards per punt in that game, and the Rams ultimately beat the undefeated Cardinals 17-3. And Johnny also showed some quarterback skills the week before. So it was a great week to be Johnny Hecker. I mean, last week and this week, this whole week, started Sunday and into Thursday. I mean, it was a great week to be Johnny Hecker. And we're going to bring Johnny on to talk about that as well. So a great show lined up for you. Cliff Floyd, Keith McCants, the great Willie Rofe, and also Rams punter Johnny Hecker. Last night, Major League Baseball, the playoffs started, one game, wild card game last night, and it was interesting baseball last night and interesting calls, and the one big call, and the call that we're all talking about is the infield fly rule call that was called in the eighth inning. It was a big play. Atlanta had two on, one out. The ball was hit. We all know the play. The ball was hit to left field. You figured, you know, you had Pete Cosmo going out there. You had Matt Holliday nearby. And you figured, okay, this is a typical fly ball. The ball dropped in the outfield. Runners advance. And the Braves were in business. Oh, no. The infield fly rule was called. The umpire put his arms up, and the rule was called. And because of that, the runner was automatically out. The runners could advance, and they did advance, but it was that they were automatically out. Instead of going bases loaded, one out, it was two outs and runners on second and third. Obviously, it was a mistake here. It was a mistake, and if you read the rule and the rule book in terms of this, you knew it was a mistake. From the standpoint that the umpire did not immediately put his arm up. And that's what the role is about. You have to immediately put your arm up and say that it is, yes, and Phil Fly rule is called. He didn't immediately do that. It didn't immediately go up. It took some time for that arm to go up. And then looking back at it, obviously, and a lot of people think the infield fly rule, that it has to be in the infield. No, it can extend past the infield. So there's really no boundaries per se. It can extend past the infield. And it did that, obviously. The ball did extend past the infield. It did extend past the infield. And in doing so, it dropped. It dropped. Obviously, a miscommunication between Cosma and Holiday. The ball dropped. And then dropping. You figured the Braves were in business, bases loaded, one out, in business, and with an opportunity to get back into the baseball game. Ultimately, it didn't happen. The rule is the rule. It was a judgment call. It's no different, I guess, than the pass interference in football. It's a judgment call. It's a judgment call. And the reality is the judgment was made by the ump in that particular play. The Braves did protest. The protest was denied. And the reality is, obviously we knew that just because you protest doesn't mean you're going to get it. More often than not, no, you're not going to get it. They weren't changing that call. And then with all the situation with the travel and everything, it would just be a nightmare. An absolute nightmare. A nightmare. A nightmare. So, you look at the whole situation. You look at the whole situation. Obviously, it was a mistake. It obviously was a mistake by umpire Holbrook. It was a mistake. But, hey, and ultimately it caused the Braves to lose the game. And the Braves were sloppy. They had the errors in the game. So, there's other plays that the Braves could look back on and say, you know what, we could have did this better, could have did that better. But the reality is Sam Holbrook made the call in left field. He said the infield fly rule was in effect. Therefore, the runner was out. Simmons was out. And we all saw what happened there. Fans throwing debris on the floor, on the field. Fans irate. Fans obviously not happy. Obviously not happy. And who could blame them? It's a one-game situation. It's a one-game situation. And I have my issues. Don't get me wrong. I like the second wild card because I think it makes it more important to win the division. Win the division becomes imperative because of the second wild card. But I will say this. What I don't like about the second wild card is just one game. Baseball, it values the regular season. And 162 games, it's a lot of games. So the regular season is big in baseball. The thing about it is, yes, you do it. The regular season is important because it's very important to win the division. It's very important to win the division. You don't have to play an extra game. You don't have to play one game. It's very important. But I think they need to tweak that wild card. I almost think the wild card needs to be a three-game set. And therefore, the team, obviously the team that has home field has the advantage in that particular game. But I think it should be a three-game set and the best out of three. And I think that's what the way it should be. It's just one game, and it's like, wow. The Braves won 94 ball games in just one game, and they're done. It doesn't seem right in a lot of ways. And I think that is something that Major League Baseball needs to look at moving forward. Also, obviously, this is something they're going to correct next year, but the Cardinals now have somewhat of an advantage because, they have the first two games at home against the Washington Nationals, a team with the best record in baseball. So the Cardinals now have the advantage because, again, they have the first two games at home. And that's big. That's big. You get off to a 2-0 lead in a series and making those home games not as important for the other team. You get off to a 2-0 lead, you have now three games to win one. No matter where it's at, you have three games to win one, and your odds are very good when you have three games to win one. Your odds are very good. The odds are in your favor. The odds are in your favor. And it's going to get tweaked and switched around next year, but just on the surface, the Braves winning 94 games and, you know, and I'm just going back to the one-game situation, the Braves winning 94 games, and they win 94 games, but the reality is in a one-game situation, they're done. They're done. They are done. Just like that, they're done. Chipper Jones is done. The career is over. And they had a bad call in that game as well that caused them, that caused the loss. I mean, obviously, you don't want to blame one play because there's a whole bunch of plays in the game, nine innings. So a lot of plays are made. A lot of plays affect the outcome of the game. But the Atlanta Braves, I mean, if you're Atlanta Brave right now, if you're an Atlanta Braves fan, you obviously are sick. And that's the, one of the reasons you probably, if you were there at the game, if you were one of the 50-some-odd thousand people, that's one of the reasons if you were there, you probably threw some debris on the field. You weren't happy about the outcome of the game. You weren't happy about a call that changed the dynamics of a game, changed the dynamics of an inning. And you saw it at the end. The Cardinals got the victory, and they immediately ran in. They weren't going to mill around on the field. They weren't taking any chances milling around on the field and any chances with debris being thrown at them. I mean, I don't blame them. They got out of Dodge. They got out of Dodge. And how about this Cardinal team? I mean, I called them, like I said last year, I called them the St. Louis Cockroaches. And nuclear bomb could hit this country, and the only people that would survive are the St. Louis Cardinals and Cockroaches. I mean, these guys found a way and find ways to win baseball games. They did it through their run last year. We all know a bunch of games out late in the season, and they found a way to make it to the playoffs. The Braves folded, and the Cardinals took advantage of it. Cardinals took advantage of it. And they broke in the Braves' heart the last 2 years in some respect. I mean, they come back and bite the Braves in the butt after the Braves had struggles down the stretch. And then this year, they go to Turner Field again, and they beat the Braves in Turner Field and advance to the National League divisional round. I mean, so how about these Cardinals? How about this Cardinal ball club? How about them? I mean, we've all saw it. We've all seen this ball club, game five against Philadelphia, even game four against Philadelphia. They were down 2-1. In game four, they come back and win that game, and then they go to Philadelphia and win game five, and that was in the divisional round last year. Then you go to the World Series, game six, down to their last out a few times, and guess what? They come back and beat the Rangers in game six and ultimately win game seven. And then yesterday, this ball club goes to Atlanta, wild card round, backs against the wall, obviously, because you're the road team, and they come out and they get the victory. And they got a call that went in their favor. Obviously, the call went in their favor, and obviously that call going in their favor was a big reason. Well, I won't say it's a big reason, but it was a part of the reason why they won. Not a big reason, because you don't want to discount all the other plays made in the nine-inning game. But it was a part of it. It was one of the reasons why. It was a reason. Not one of the main reasons, but it was a reason why the Braves lost that game. That call should not have been made by Sam Holbrook. It was the wrong call. It was the wrong call. It's a judgment call, but it was the wrong judgment. It was just bad judgment, poor judgment at that particular time, and ultimately it caused the Braves. And now the Cardinals move on. First two games at home against the Washington Nationals, a rested Washington Nationals team, you hope, a Washington Nationals team that will be without the services their second-best pitcher, Steven Strasburg, as he's been shut down for the season. We shall see what happens moving on. The Cardinals and the Nationals. And again, the first two games will be in St. Louis. The last three will be in Washington. If St. Louis can take advantage of the home field, do what they have to do on the home field, guess what? They will have an opportunity then to have win one game out of three. If they can win the first two, their odds looking good. The odds are looking real, real good. And even conversely, if the Nationals are able to get one in St. Louis, things kind of turn around for them too, because you look at it, they still have to win two games, but two out of those, all three of those games will be in Washington. So you have the home field advantage. But again, if the Cardinals can win these first two games, and that goes for all the other teams in this round, if the Cardinals and these other teams can win the first two games, they can win the first two games, guess what? You have to say advantage. You have to say advantage that the team that does not have home field advantage. You have to say advantage Tigers if they can win the first two in Detroit. Advantage, obviously any team. But because of this format, the 2-3 format, and the first two games being at home for St. Louis, first two games being at home for Baltimore, first two games being at home for the Tigers, first two games, you know, I mean, so you look at that and you say, first two games being home for San Francisco, you have to say they have the advantage, especially if they can win those first two games. They win those first two games, they have the advantage. They obviously have the advantage. They have the advantage. So we shall see. We shall see. I don't like it just as much as you do. You don't like it. I mean, obviously, Major League Baseball really didn't think this out too well, and they didn't schedule it too well. But it is what it is. It is what it is. And again, the second wild card, I love it. I like the idea. I love the concept. I love it a lot, actually. I think it's great, especially because over the years, winning a division really didn't matter much. It really didn't matter much. Cardinals, they didn't win a division last year, and they still won. So it didn't matter. It does not matter much whether you're the wild card or the division winner. Now it does. Now it does. So from that standpoint, the second wild card is great. It's great from that standpoint. It's great. It's great. I just think, again, it should not be a one-game situation. It should be a three-game series, at least. At least you want to bump it up to five, that's fine. But it should be at least a three-game series. And if I guess theoretically, if you bumped it up to five, it would almost work like the NFL, where a team would have like a week off, an additional week off. So if you bumped it up to five, obviously you have to put in some time for travel as well. But you can get a series in 5 days. I mean, in 7 days, two in one venue, two a travel day, two at the other venue, a travel day. And then one game. I mean, obviously, the season is going to be pushed back some, and then it would be up to baseball probably to start the season a little earlier, maybe a couple weeks earlier, so they can put this in place. I say at least three, at least a three-game wild card series. I think it should be. You could argue five, but I say at least three. Should be at least three. And hopefully that'll change moving forward. And in the other wild card game, the road team won it there. The Baltimore Orioles, and what a great story that is. The Baltimore Orioles get it done against the Texas Rangers. And the Texas Rangers, I mean, they just fell apart down the stretch. They let the A's catch them in the division, and it just fell apart. This team fell apart down the stretch. And they come in this particular game against the Baltimore Orioles, a team that was battling it out with the Yankees. But the O's, they got it done. They beat Yu Darvish and the Texas Rangers in Texas, in Arlington. And the Orioles move on now. The Orioles move on. And Jeffrey Mayer is maybe smiling right now. Or probably is hiding, because I know he really doesn't like to talk about the whole situation. I'm talking about back in the playoffs. I believe that was 96, where he big home run. Derek Jeter hit it out there. Tony Tarasco going for the ball. Jeffrey Mayer puts his glove out, brings it on in for the Yankees, and ultimately the Yankees will win that particular series. And obviously that's a controversial call, and it's a call that was the wrong call, but ultimately the Yankees benefited, and the Yankees' magic continued. But anyway, the Orioles and the Yankees getting it back on in the playoffs, and that's always an exciting thing. It's always an exciting thing, and I'm looking forward to this series. at Royal AM, these two teams battled and battled throughout the course of this year, down the stretch there in the second half of the season in terms of trying to win the American League East. Yankees would hold on, and Baltimore had to play the extra game, almost a playing game, if you will. And they played it, and then they won it. And they have moved on. And I'm looking forward to this one. I really am. And you look at these two teams. They split 18 games this year. So throughout this regular season, these two teams have battled. And the regular season records are even against each other. It's even. And Texas, I mean, you had the division. And then you get swept by the Oakland A's in the final series of the season. You get swept by the Oakland A's. You had it. And you let it go. And I talked about this last week about the Rangers. I figured, you know what, this team was in complete control. That division, in my mind, was pretty much over. I was wrong. I didn't expect this collapse. I mean, they collapsed. They absolutely collapsed. They collapsed. There's no getting around it. This ball club collapsed. They collapsed. And you wonder what happens now. You wonder what happens with Josh Hamilton. He's a free agent. Does he come back? I know that the fans let him have it. And they loved Josh Hamilton for many years. A lot of people loved his story and everything. A lot of people still love his story. But, I mean, they laid into him. And Josh Hamilton had a great year. But they laid into him yesterday. They were laying into him. And he wasn't good yesterday. Obviously, he wasn't good yesterday. And because he wasn't good, they laid into him. The fans laid into him in Texas. Got into him big time. And, you know, he wasn't good yesterday. He really was not good yesterday. There's no getting around it. Josh Hamilton was not good and has struggled down the stretch here. 0-for-4, including 2 strikeouts yesterday. That's not good. That's not getting it done. And he didn't get it done yesterday. The Rangers did not get it done yesterday. And the Orioles advance. The Orioles advance to face the Yankees, which should be a very, very exciting series. And another series that gets started today, the Oakland A's against the Detroit Tigers. How about the Oakland A's and how about the Detroit Tigers, first of all? 2 weeks back, I looked at the standings. At that point, I believe Chicago's up about one or two games in the division. And I said to myself, looking at the schedules, that the advantage would fall for the Detroit Tigers. And because of schedules, it came down to schedules in that race with the White Sox. And the schedule favored the Detroit Tigers. And because the schedule favored the Detroit Tigers were very successful. And that schedule helped them win the division. It helped them. It helped them big time. It helps when you play the Royals and the Twins a lot down the stretch. That helps. Helped a lot. And they ultimately won that division. But the Oakland A's, a team, lowest payroll, a team not with a high payroll, a low payroll. I mean, had an opening day payroll of $52 million. Payroll's low. Not high at all. A team that at the All-Star break did not look good. A team gave up their All-Star closer, Andrew Bailey. Gave up Gio Gonzalez, who had a great year with the Washington Nationals. They gave up a lot of people. Trevor Cahill as well. It didn't look good for the Oakland A's. A team coming off a 74-88 record, 14 games below 500. So you're 14 games below 500. Give away or trade away some of your better players, and a team that was 37-42 at one point. And then the second half of the season, they got hot. They got hot in the second half of the season and really took off. This team really, really took off in the second half of the season. They took off in the second half of the season. I mean, and played some great, great baseball. 49-25 in the second half of the season. 24 games above 500 in the second half of the season. 24 games above 500 after the All-Star break. 25 games above 500 after the All-Star break. Oh, by the way, lost one of their best pitchers in Brandon McCarthy. Oh, by the way, lost another pitcher, Bartolo Colon, who pitched well for the ball club, and he was suspended 50 games using performance-enhancing drugs. But the ace, Billy Bean, the numbers guy, Billy Bean, and the ace, played some tough baseball, played some great baseball, and somehow, some way, beat the Texas Rangers and ultimately would get to the playoffs and win the division. Beat the Rangers, three-game series sweep, the final three games of the season, and they found a way to get into the playoffs. Amazing. Amazing. And I looked at that division last week, and I was thinking, okay, a lot of American League races other than I was talking about the National League, actually. A lot of the National League races were done. When I looked at the American League, I was saying, okay, you look at it, okay, Detroit and Chicago is going to come down to the end. Baltimore and the Yankees were going to come down to the end. You figured a wild card spot was going to be between either it was going to be Baltimore or New York and possibly, obviously, the loser of Detroit. It's going to be Baltimore, New York, or Oakland in terms of the wild card. It was going to be Baltimore, New York, or Oakland in terms of the wild card. That's what you thought. The Tigers were comfortably ahead, three games ahead, and two games ahead, I should say, in that final series, going into that final series. So all you had to do was win one. You win one if you're the Rangers, I should say, I said the Tigers. You win one if you're the Rangers, and you win the division. It's the unthinkable. They get swept. They get swept. And ultimately, it cost them the game. We're going to switch gears now to the NFL, the National Football League. A lot of great, great matchups coming up this weekend. You got the Battle of Pennsylvania, Steelers, Eagles. You got Peyton going up against Brady again, Broncos, Patriots. So a lot of great, great base, a lot of great, great football, I should say, coming up this weekend. Let's talk about some of the great things in the National Football League with Hall of Famer, 11-time Pro Bowler, the great Willie Rowe. Willie, how are you, sir?
How you doing? Doing okay.
Thanks for joining us. And Willie, let's get right down to it. I'm going to start with the New York Jets and start with the Jets now. Last week, they got beat bad by the 49ers, 34-0. Mark Sanchez was bad. He's a 30th-rated quarterback in football. Santonio Holmes, out for the year. Darrelle Revis, out for the year. Their tight end, Dustin Keller, he's hurt. This team is still 2-2, but a lot of people believe that this team should go to Tim Tebow. Should the Jets go to Tebow, Willie?
I mean, if their offense isn't going to be doing anything, it won't hurt anything. I think they need the information we're trying to use for find more packages to use for them. I mean, I don't know if they're going to go fully to him yet, but they need to get him more involved than what other choice do they have.
I mean, and the thing about it is, I mean, it's hard. Sanchez has been bad, but you look at the Jets' offense, and there's really not a lot of weapons. There's nothing that really pops out to you, nothing that sticks out to you. And I think Sanchez gives them the best chance to win. But, again, I wouldn't be opposed to going to Tebow because I don't think the Jets are going to make the playoffs anyway.
I don't think so. I think it's just too many injuries compounded. Plaxico put up decent numbers last year. I don't think he really had 7 touchdowns, 8 9
yards. He had 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, so Plaxico put up some decent numbers last year, and he's not back. So, they had to go to some young guys, and, the line is relatively healthy. So, I mean, I don't know. You're going to run the ball a lot more and just play old school football because I don't think they're going to be able to stretch the field.
And Willie, also Monday Night Football, we saw it. Tony Romo going back to some of his old ways. 5 interceptions, 2 which led to touchdowns. I mean, Romo, he puts up his numbers, but he has his bad moments too. At this point, is Romo, is it kind of, it is what it is with him? This is what you're going to get with this guy?
I think he had a real bad game. You know, he didn't play well against Chicago. Romo had a real good year last year statistically, and, he had a rough day. Cutler played well, Chicago's defense stepped up and played well. So it was just one of those things. He had a real bad day. So great credit to Chicago defense, and hopefully he doesn't have that type of day again this year.
And Romo, you talked about it. What he did in 2011. I mean, 2011 was impressive. 31 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. So the numbers were there for Romo. And the numbers have always been there for him. It's just he has those moments, and that moment came up again this week against the Chicago Bears. And Willie, right now, I look at the Saints, a team that's 4-0, and obviously Bounty Gate has hit this team hard. Sean Payton gone, and a few other players gone as well. But you look at this team, and I've heard this thrown around now, the death penalty. It was almost like Roger Goodell in the league gave the Saints the death penalty. In hindsight, were some of the suspensions too harsh?
I definitely think the one with losing your head coach all year was harsh. I definitely think that was harsh. Other than that, I think they just have a new defense. They have a new defensive coordinator, and they lost some players on defense. They let some players go. Offensively, they're still throwing the ball. I mean, they're still doing okay. But they definitely, the chemistry between the team is not there this year. Something's off. They did play real hard last week. But defensively, they turned over a whole new deal with a whole new coaching change and philosophy. So, you're going to have some adjustments with that. But, like you said, offensively, early, I don't think Drew didn't do any picks last week. But, early in the year, they were turning the ball over and doing some things that's going to hurt you anytime you play on the road, or you can't turn the ball over like that in your own side of the field. So, I think losing the head coach for the whole year was a tough one.
And to your point, especially with the defense that they have, they can't afford any type of turnovers. This team doesn't have much margin for error until that defense can get better, and you just don't see it in terms of that defense getting better. But, anything is possible, but the offense almost has to be perfect in a lot of ways. We're talking to Hall of Famer Willie Rolfe. And, Willie, this past week, we saw it on ESPN, 30 for 30 movie, broke. You heard some of the stories of Keith McCants. We're going to have him on today. You heard the stories of Andre Rison. You heard the story of others. Could you relate to some of those stories that you heard in that particular movie?
Yeah, you understand what they're dealing with the families and stuff. Leon Searcy talking about the girl, they had a joint account. They had kind of money in it. I didn't understand why. Why these different? I'll tell you. If you have that kind of money, you need to have somebody advising you that's going to take all that and then put you on some type of budget, and so you can't run through it. But these guys want to do it all themselves and don't really listen to anybody, and that's what happens. So, you get to live in that lifestyle, and you didn't think they're going to play forever, and then things happen.
Right, and a lot of things happened to a lot of those guys. Some sad stories. And the thing about it is, I know Leon Searcy, he talked about in terms of just, in terms of the females. And the funny thing about it is you look at it, you're talking about the difference between an average guy and an NFL football player. An NFL football player, a professional athlete, they have – grade A women coming after them. We're not talking about grade B, grade C, grade D, grade F. We're talking about the best of the best, the cream of the crop coming after you. And I mean, I'm talking from an average guy's standpoint. I'm not sure I could resist all the temptation that's out there. I mean, it's got to be very difficult for a lot of these guys, and that affects their money. But when you talk about in terms of the child support and even, you know, just taking care of some of these women. I mean, talk about the temptation that's out there. I mean, you're talking about grade A women coming after you.
I mean, you just, I mean, what can you do? You know, I mean, we're all human. We all, you know, you're young, you're in the league. You know, you got beautiful women. You know, if you're out there running those circles with those guys, you know, in every city, you're going to go out. You know, like you said, the women that are looking for these guys, they're going to be out there. They know where they're hanging out. And, you know, and like I said, it's just hard to resist, you know, getting caught up. I mean, you're eventually going to end up spending some time with them. But usually when you're looking at some of those grade A women, you're not the only one that they've been hanging out with on that team.
Right.
Or, you know, you have other athletes in other sports that you're not the only sport that they're talking to, not the only one on the team. So you just have to try to figure that out and not get caught up, you know, ahead of time by knowing what you're dealing with and what they've been doing, you know. I mean,
right.
It's different between going to find them in the club or going to find them at the church.
definitely. And I would recommend to some of these athletes, you might want to try to find them at the church. The club might be some issues there. And, Willie, we saw also on that show some of the guys and some of the spending habits. Andre Rison talked about all the money he spent in the club and, you know, the jewelry, the cars. I mean, it's basically kind of to take a line from Biggie, the money, the hoes, and the clothes. I mean, is it hard sometimes not to want to spend because you have so much money coming in?
Well, it just if you know that but you're going to do that, then you need, that's what I say. You don't need to have access to the money. And then, you know, like Dre said, when you have an entourage with all those guys that are around you spending, driving the cars, hanging out in the club, you know, then you're taking care of all these other guys, too. And, you know, they're treating it like you're treating it. So, you know, it's just one of those deals where you really have to, if you're young in the league and you've been in for a few years, you have to realize that, you know, during the time and make sure it doesn't get out of hand if you get control of it at some point. You know, you just can't continue to keep doing it.
You see movies like this, you see obviously the Rookie Symposium and guys trying to talk to the young guys. Will it change? Will this change anything?
It doesn't seem like it has changed something. I think it's getting better. But I still think, you know, a lot of it's going on. Look at this, we're young, you know, but it's still going on and guys, you know, are playing in the league for a certain amount of time and they're walking out of the league, they already are having financial problems before they even in their career. So, you know, it's happening to guys and it's sad. So
it's definitely
have the opportunity to take advantage of it. And like the other week, you know, when you're having these issues, then you're trying to focus on playing football. It's a lot easier to focus on playing financial situations as a kid. And you're out there playing and having fun at the game you love. But when you start getting in the league and you're going through some adversity with some teams, and then you're worried about paying this and that, and you're worried about making a roster, that makes it a little harder, a little more pressure on you to focus. And you're trying to do everything right because you put yourself in a tough situation. So mentally, you know, like I said, it becomes a difficult thing to, you know, try to focus on worry about football when you issues at home you're dealing with.
And we saw in that documentary also some of these players get crazy business proposals. What's the craziest business proposal somebody ever approached you about?
I mean, just the normal stuff. I mean, restaurants, you know, clubs, you know, just the normal stuff that they probably approach most of the guys about, you know. Just businesses that you probably know that aren't going to work, you know, and you just tell them to talk to your advisor or just you know, just have to say no. You can't do it. And, you know, it becomes, like you said, it's a tough deal. But, you know, that show should open up a lot of these guys' eyes, these young guys playing in the league now. It should hopefully open up a lot of their minds so they don't get put in the same situation that a lot of these guys are going through. And with Kevin Cassidy, he had 29 surgeries. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure he's getting some disability from the league. So, you know, that's probably what he's living on now. But like you said, this was a real tough, sad story to watch, and not just football players. It was
definitely
basketball boys talking about it, and other guys in there too. So it's not just football.
And Willie, moving back to on the field now, and we got to get your top five. Before you give yours, let me get mine. I have Houston 1, Atlanta 2, Philadelphia 3, Baltimore 4, and I have San Francisco number 5. Does yours look a little different?
I would not have Philly that high. I have Houston 1, Atlanta 2, San Francisco 3. Philly would be 4.
Okay.
And Baltimore would be 5.
All right. All right. And I mean, I put the Eagles higher than Baltimore. In my mind, head to head, I'm going with the tiebreaker. Eagles beat the Ravens head to head. So head to head matchup, I got to put the Eagles above Baltimore. Real quickly now, Willie, two big matchups in the NFL. First of all, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. Eagles traveling to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is 1-2. Pittsburgh coming off a bye. I can't see where the Eagles can win this game. And I just, because of the situation Pittsburgh's in being 1-2, because Pittsburgh is coming off the bye, because the Eagles played a tough game against the Giants, a nationally televised game against the Giants, I don't see the Eagles being able to beat the Steelers in this particular situation.
Big game. If they can go to Pittsburgh, it'd be a big statement game. But I'm thinking that Pittsburgh will come off a bye week. Those older guys on defense are going to be a little fresher running around. It's going to be tough for them to beat Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh.
Definitely. And also, another game, you have Tom Brady and Peyton Manning going up against each other one more again, this time in New England, Denver, New England. How do you see this one? I think Denver wins this game. I think this is a big game for Denver, statement game for Denver, a team that's had some struggles early on. I expect a big performance out of Peyton.
I think New England will get out of it. It'll be tight, but I'm thinking New England will win that game at home.
And you look at it, I mean, obviously being at home does favor New England, but in terms of New England, it just, their defense still a little suspect, and that they woke up. The offense woke up a lot, and the offense has been playing fairly well, but they played extremely well against Buffalo in that second half. And I think theoretically you have to favor the Patriots being at their home, but I just look at it from a Peyton Manning against Tom Brady standpoint. This is a game, I think, a statement game, I think, for Peyton Manning going up against Brady. And a game that I think is going to be big for the Broncos right now. Team is 2-2. I like the Broncos, but we'll see what happens. And Willie, pleasure having you on, man, as always. And we'll talk about some of these things again next week.
All right, thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Take care.
All right.
Willie Rofe, Hall of Famer, 11-time Pro Bowler. Interesting comments in terms of talking about the players and money. I mean, it was if you missed it, ESPN 30 for 30 broke, which aired this past Tuesday, I believe, on ESPN. I mean, a great, great documentary talking about some of the struggles that some athletes have had in terms of money. In terms of money. And one thing that they talked about is also, and I talked about it with Willie, was the temptation that's out there. And some of these guys, in terms of child support and how it's really hurting their income, T.O., It's affecting his income. It affected his income. It's affecting his income as we speak. A lot of guys are getting affected by child support. And the thing about it is, when you're on that level, that elite status, I mean, you have the money. We all know women love power. Women love power. It is what it is. I don't think that's offensive to any person out there. Women love power. Love a man with power. They love a man with power. And as an NFL player, you have money, which can give you power. That money gives you power. And so these guys, they have the money. Obviously, they're in tip-top shape. And these women are going to throw themselves at them. Some of these women are going to try to get pregnant by them. I mean, and so it's a tough thing for these guys. And I said to Willie, I mean, you talk about it. These are not grade B, grade C, grade D type of women. You're talking about grade A. You're talking about the cream of the crop. You're talking about the cream of the crop, body's tight, face looking right. You're talking about those type of women. And so in talking about that, the temptation has to be tough for these guys. I mean, I can't judge you. I can't judge any of these athletes for falling for any of these things. I mean, you talk about it, some of the guys, you know, and talking about saying no and the power of no. I mean, that's got to be difficult. I mean, it sounds good. And no is a great word. It's one of the better words in the English language. No is a great word. It's a great word. But it's so difficult to say no. And you're talking about close friends, close family, who you've had great relationships with throughout the course of your life, and they come at you with business proposals, with loans, with things of that nature. And it's difficult to say no because these are people you have personal relationships with. These are people that you know and that you love. And then also, you know, obviously you want to take care of moms and dads. You want to make sure that moms and dads have a nice house, nice cars. You want to take care of them. But where does it stop? I mean, you know, you got cousins, you got brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews, friends. Oh, friends who say they're family, and family, distant relatives that you haven't seen in years who come back in and come out of the woodworks. I mean, you have all these things coming at you. And it's like, what do? Yes, you say no, but then it affects relationships that you have. It affects relationships that you've had with some of your family members. And so no is a great word. No is an awesome word. A great word for these guys. But the thing about it is, no is a great word, but how difficult is it truly to say no? We all say yes, say no, say no, say no, say no. But if your brother's coming up to you and you have or a cousin or whoever, and you have a great relationship with them and very close relationship with them, and you say no to them, That affects the relationship. Could affect the relationship. I'm not saying definitively it's going to affect the relationship, but it could. It's a good possibility that it could. And I got to quote Biggie again: "The more money, the more problems. More money, more problems." And that's what happened to a lot of these guys. They got the money, and they got more money, and they got more problems. Their 99 problems turned into 110, 115. So they went over. Their 99 problems went over 100. Went over 100. So the thing about it in this whole situation with these guys, and we're going to bring in Keith McCants, and we're going to talk to him about it in the next couple of minutes. But the thing about these guys and this situation is, you really, I mean, yes, you can call them stupid and judge them and all this. And it's, I mean, some of the stories you hear, not even from the documentary, but just Vince Young, and reportedly he spent $5,000 a week as a rookie in a cheesecake factory. I mean, how many cheesecakes can you eat? $5,000 is a lot of money. You can't eat all those cheesecakes. And if you're eating $5,000 worth of cheesecakes, you're probably not in the best of shape. And I'm granted, he's probably not eating all those cheesecakes. But so, I mean, obviously other people are. Well, the thing about it is, when you hear those type of stories, yes, on the surface, it sounds stupid. It sounds dumb, and it is. It is. But the thing about it is this. When you make that kind of money, when you have that type of money, you don't think you can go through it. You don't ever think you can go through all that money. I mean, Mike Tyson went through $400 million. $400 million. $400 million. Now, you don't think that's possible, that you can go through that kind of money. That doesn't seem possible. That doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem like it's doable. But Mike Tyson went through $400 million. So if he can go through $400 million, somebody can go through 30 and 20 and 10 million dollars. If he can go through $400 million, it's possible. It's definitely possible. But it's sad. It's truly sad. It's truly sad to go from nothing to something to nothing again. That's sad. There's no getting around that. That's a sad situation when you go from something to nothing back to something. I mean, from nothing to something to nothing. That's sad. And you hate to hear stories like you heard on Tuesday night. You hate to hear those stories, but it is what it is. And you just hope that guys can educate themselves financially to avoid the pitfalls of money, of having money. You hope guys can avoid the pitfalls of having money. You just hope. You really do. You hope that guys can avoid it. You really do. But the thing about it is this. The temptation is out there. There's a lot of temptation out there when you have that kind of money. There's a lot of people coming at you when you have that kind of money. Again, I can say on the surface that, yes, I would be strong. Yes, I wouldn't go for this and go for that. Yes, I wouldn't do that stupid thing or this stupid thing. But I'm just talking from a guy who's never had that type of money, who's never had that type of those type of things out there, that type of temptation out there. I'm speaking from that guy, from that perspective. I'm not speaking from the perspective of a guy who's lived it, who's done it, who's been involved in it. I'm speaking from a guy who, again, has not made that type of money, who's not been involved with that type of temptation. So, I mean, if you look at that whole documentary, and it was just, it was a lot of sad stories. But you hope something good can come out of it. You hope guys can ultimately turn things around. You hope guys will be able to turn things around. You hope. But it was some sad stories. I mean, it really, really was. And if you haven't seen it, make sure you check it out. Make sure you go check it out, because it's a very interesting documentary, a very interesting documentary, and a documentary I think that you truly will enjoy. I mean, it's enlightening. And it's just really, really hearing some interesting stories. And guys, you know, not being ashamed of what they did and what happened. They're just, you know, telling how they feel. They're just telling how they feel and telling what they experienced and what they went through. They're talking about their lives. Talking about the things that they experienced. And you hope that we all have learned something from what we saw. We hope that everybody has learned something from what they saw Tuesday night. Sad stories. Sad stories all around. Guys in financial ruin because of you know, just spending, poor spending habits. And Andre Rison said it best. I didn't have a gambling problem. I had a spending habit problem. I had a spending problem. I didn't have a gambling problem. I had a spending problem. And you think about it. if you think about it. It's hard to judge someone in that particular situation when they have all that money coming at them and all that temptation, all those things that are out there coming after them, coming after them hard, coming after them hard, very hard. So it becomes very difficult. So I can't judge these guys. I can't judge them. I will say some of the things that they've done, definitely on the surface, sounded very stupid. Andre Rison talking about spending about $10,000 a week in the club, and that's not smart. Just buying a whole bunch of jewelry, it's not smart. Not smart at all. But it is what it is. It really is what it is. And you just hope guys will learn a valuable lesson. In this whole thing. You really do. And I mean, it's, I don't know. Will it change things? Will that documentary and hearing some of these guys' stories change things? Probably not, because let's be honest, Americans as a whole spend a lot. Not just athletes. Americans as a whole spend a lot. And they don't take care of their money. So this is going to continue to happen. You just hope that it will not happen as much. You really do. But we'll see. We shall see. I doubt it. I really do doubt it. But I don't know. I mean, you feel for these guys. I mean, it's the only thing, you know, I stay on is I feel for these guys. I really do, because, you know, these guys really, really don't ask for all the things that come at them. And it's difficult to prepare a 20, 21-year-old for those type of things. I mean, we've all been 20, we've all been 21, and we've all done some reckless things. Now imagine if you had $1 million. Imagine if you had $1 million in your pocket. Now, imagine you have $1 million in your pocket. How reckless would you be? Would you be more reckless, do you think? With $1 million in your pocket? At the age of 21? Probably so. So I think before we start judging, I think we should think about how we will react in that particular situation. How will we react if we're in that situation? How we would react if we're in that situation. Think about it. Think about how we would react in that situation. Think about it. And so we just hope that guys will learn a valuable lesson from what we saw the other day on ESPN's 30 for 30, broke. Hopefully it changes. Hopefully things will change. The second hour of Go For It starts right now.
Hey, what up? It's Corey Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Picturica on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man, Paulie G and Jeremy. Get it!
Thank you, sir.
We thank you, Corey Live, for that beautiful, beautiful, beautiful dropping. It is Go For It. It is the second hour. And we were joined by Willie Rofe in the first hour. Expected to be joined by Keith McCants in the second hour. Also Johnny Hecker, punter for the St. Louis Rams, and also Cliff Floyd, former Major League Baseball player. He will join us in the second hour. And the first hour, we talked about Major League Baseball and some of the happenings last night and some of the happenings that will happen on here today as the divisional rounds get started. And also talk some NFL. We're going to dive back in to the National Football League. And again, another great week of football. Another great week of football. Another great thing. A lot of great, great things to talk about. And we talked about it with Willie. Tim Tebow, you're hearing the call now for Tebow. It's time to bring Tebow in. It's time to get Tebow in. It's time to start Tebowing with Tim Tebow. And I don't think that would make the Jets a better football team. But at the same time, I would not be opposed to it because I just don't think this team is good enough. I don't think Mark Sanchez is good enough. I never thought Mark Sanchez was going to be this great quarterback. I've always had my doubts about Sanchez. My doubts have always been about Mark Sanchez throughout, even when they were going to the title games and even when he was doing some of the things in the playoffs. I've heard somebody say this is still the same quarterback that we've seen as a rookie. I mean, he hasn't progressed. He hasn't become a different quarterback. He's been the same guy. He's been the same guy that we've seen over the years. He's been the same guy we've seen over the years. He's been a guy that he's a game changer. He's a game manager. He's not a game changer. He's not changing any situation, any game for you. He's not going to do that. If you are thinking that he's going to do that, you're wrong. He's not that guy. He's just not that guy. Just not that guy. And probably will never become that guy. He's a game manager at best, I think, and he's been erratic to this point. 30th in passer rating in the National Football League, so he's only better than two quarterbacks. Only better than two quarterbacks. Old man Weed in Cleveland and Ryan Tannehill. So he's only better than two quarterbacks. That's it. That's it. Only better than two. So there you have it. I mean, the Jets, now, I wouldn't even be shocked, to be honest with you, if the Jets beat the Texans this week at home on Monday night. It's just the type of game that you would expect Rex Ryan to have his team up for, especially a team coming off a bad loss. But at the same time, you don't have your best wide receiver in Santonio Holmes. You don't have your best wide receiver. One of your best players on your team. And obviously, you don't have the best player on your team in Darrelle Revis. You don't have him. So the Jets are a team that is going to struggle. And I cannot see it getting any better for this team. I wouldn't be surprised if it got better because I know Rex and those boys, when the chips are down and everybody's against them, they seem to rise up. When we start to doubt them, they seem to rise up. They seem to rise up. But we'll see. I mean, at some point, when you lose all the talent, when you lose talent such as Revis and Santonio Holmes, when you lose that type of talent, and you're talking arguably the best player on your offense and your best player on your defense, when you lose that type of talent, it becomes very difficult to replace it. It becomes very difficult to replace. You can't replace Darrelle Revis, best corner in the game. You can't replace. That can't be replaced, no matter what you do. That can't be replaced. But in terms of what's going on with the Jets. On the offensive side of football, it's going to be a struggle. And you wonder, they had Plaxico Burress last year, a guy who seemed to have lost a step. He didn't seem like the same player, but this is also a guy coming off a 2-year prison stint, you know? So how effective would you expect him to be right away? But the Jets seem to not have interest in Plaxico Burress. I'm shocked he hasn't gotten another opportunity. I really am shocked that he hasn't gotten another opportunity. And if he was going to get another opportunity, to me, this would have been the opportunity with the Jets, being that they're all banged up, being that they are really struggling in the wide receiver department. They're really struggling in the wide receiver department. So it's if the Jets were going to make a move for Plaxico Burress, this would be the time to do it. You would think. I mean, the wide receiver position is a problem for the Jets. And you look at Plaxico's numbers a year ago, they're not awful. They're not awful. 45 catches, 612 yards, and 8 touchdowns. So they're not awful numbers. They're not awful numbers at all. Especially a guy who hasn't played football in a year. Numbers aren't bad. Not bad. Not bad at all. 2 years. The guy didn't play in 2 years. So the numbers aren't awful for a guy who hadn't played in 2 years. His numbers were okay to me. His numbers were acceptable numbers. They really were, in my mind. 45 grabs, 612 yards, 8 touchdowns. Those numbers aren't bad, folks. They aren't bad numbers. And you figure that would at least give him another opportunity. If not with the Jets, somewhere. Someone would take a chance on Plaxico Burress. Someone. And this is a guy, as far as I'm concerned, he does not have any wiggle room to mess up. So you know he's going to be on his best behavior. I mean, the contract that you're going to give him is going to be organization friendly. So why can't he get a shot? Why can't he get an opportunity? Why can't he get a shot and opportunity? He's surprised, and I'm surprised, quite frankly, that he hasn't gotten another opportunity. I mean, it's surprising. It truly is surprising. I thought at least the Jets would give him an opportunity, would at least give him an opportunity. Now, you don't know any of the dynamics in the locker room. I don't know if there's any locker room dynamics. That may be a reason behind it. I don't know. And as Plaxico said, he could help the Jets off the couch. So he obviously believes in his abilities, and he thinks he can help the Jets. Even T.O. for that matter. Why hasn't T.O. gotten a call from the Jets? Why hasn't T.O. gotten a call from the Jets? So, I don't know. Plaxico Burress is having a hard time catching on. You would think the Jets would be the team that would want Plaxico Burress. You're listening to Go For It on blogtalkradio.com.
Corey Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Picturica on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man Paulie G and Jeremy. Get it!
And we're back, and we're about to bring in a guy who's been playing some great, great football. A guy we talked to before, actually, during his draft process and as he was preparing for the NFL draft, a guy who's been getting it done, not only punting the ball, but throwing the football as well. Let's bring him in now, punter extraordinaire for the St. Louis Rams, Johnny Hecker. Johnny, how are
you,
sir?
Hey, I'm doing well, Paul. How about yourself, man? Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
And Johnny, let's get right down to it. An impressive performance by your St. Louis Rams. 17-3 victory over the previously undefeated Arizona Cardinals. You played a big part in that game. 56 yards per punt in that particular game. Talk about your performance against the Cardinals.
We came into the game with a good game plan, trying to keep the ball away from 21 as much as possible, kicking the ball out of bounds. Had a couple punts get away from me, had good distance on them, but our coverage guys really just worked their butts off and were able to fly down there and kind of shut off his return game and keep him out of the end zone, which is something that he's real good at doing. So, our coverage guys, my hat's off to them. They worked their butts off all week. We had great work by the scout punt return team, giving us good looks, so we were prepared, fully when the game came.
And punters, kickers, you guys usually don't get a lot of credit for a team winning a game, but this was a defensive struggle, so field position was a big part of the game against the Arizona Cardinals. You had 3 punts down inside the 20-yard line. Talk about the importance of changing field position in that particular game.
Our defense was just playing lights out, so we just needed to put offenses in a real uncomfortable position, which is inside the 20. Statistics show that teams are way less likely to score when you put the ball, pin the ball deep in their own end zone. So, we were able to pin them back there. Our defense was just able to play, play this smash mouth brand of football we're bringing to the game. And, they were able to get a lot of pressure on the quarterback and really shut things down in the secondary. So it was, just me being able to kind of control what the offense is able to run. The offense can't run everything they want to when they're kind of, backed up and they have to think about the field position battle and everything. So,
right.
It all just ended up working out well and gave them a long field a couple times, and we ended up getting some points off of one of them. So that was great.
And Johnny, Arizona came into the game 4-0. This was a nationally televised game. Did that give you guys any extra motivation?
Not really. We just wanted to go out there and perform as well as we could. Had a great turnout by the fans in St. Louis for another home game in prime time, which they haven't had in a long time. And, it was a great turnout, and we got another home win. We're 3-0 at home. Big thanks to the fans and just, giving us that energy we need to really push through and dig deep when the big plays are crucial.
And a lot of great things happened for you guys in this game, but some bad things, and one bad thing in particular, is you guys will be without the services of your number one wide receiver, Danny Amendola. How much does that hurt you guys moving forward?
Danny's an amazing talent, a great route runner and a really technician of what he does. He's deadly with the ball in his hands as well as a returner. So, it puts a little bit of added pressure on the young guys to develop quickly and come in there. We still have plenty of weapons offensively. Norris Jenkins is going to do a fabulous job returning punts for us as well. So, it's just going to be a kind of a passing of the guard. But, we're just going to keep our prayers and thoughts with Danny through his recovery process and hope that he gets back fast so he can help contribute to some more wins.
We're talking to Rams punter Johnny Hecker. And, Johnny, you look at you guys now. You got 3 wins. That was the win total of this team all last year. So it's good things going on in St. Louis right now. But in talking to your teammates, how much of a difference is this year from last year?
Oh, man, that's one thing. Our snapper, it was his first year last year, but, he's quick to remind us how good we have it. In the locker room, there's just a real cohesiveness that he said wasn't really there last year. With our coaching staff, everyone's high energy, expect a lot out of us, and we, practice at a good pace, and it really shows. Everyone on our team supports each other, believes in each other, and, I think we're getting the city behind us, and we're just, moving in the right direction that we need to as an organization, and we know it.
And looking at you now, Johnny, again, you've been punting the ball very well this season. Talk about the difference of punting in college in comparison to the NFL. Is there much of a difference?
I'd say the most stark difference would just be the fact that, you know, every returner you face week in, week out is an absolute home run threat. In college, you know, you'd face maybe three or four guys a season. You know, I've faced, you know, five guys this season who are best returners, you know, I've faced my entire life. So it's, you know, it's just a heightened sense of, you know, you want to get this ball, you know, either fair caught or put it out of bounds so that these returners can't, you know, do what they're designed to do, and that's, you know, get big returns and score touchdowns for their team.
And, Johnny, you and fellow rookie kicker Greg Zuerlein, you guys obviously are both rookies, both been impressive so far this season. How much does having Greg around help your transition to the NFL? How much has that helped you?
Oh, it's been incredible. You know, having him, both him and Jake McQuaid, he's our second-year long snapper, has been awesome. You know, I've just been we're a real close-knit group of guys. We're always hanging out together. You know, Greg and I actually live together, so
okay.
Just having like-minded people around you all the time just helps it a lot. Helps the whole transition. You know, I'm not at home, just, you know, missing all my friends back in Oregon or missing my family up in Washington, but I'm able to just unwind, play video games with him, hang out, chit-chat. He's a funny kid. You know, we just have a lot of fun together as a special teams unit, us young three guys, and, you know, we're hard workers as well. We, you know, have focused, detailed work on what we're trying to do, and that's improve every game, every day. You know, every snap we get an opportunity in practice, we're trying to improve somehow. And, you know, I think it's showing on the field thus far in the season. We just got to keep it rolling.
And, John, you had a great week. I mean, you threw a touchdown pass against the Seahawks. You had an impressive performance kicking the ball against the Cardinals. I mean, talk about being Johnny Hecker this week. I mean, this was a great week to be Johnny Hecker. I wish I was Johnny Hecker this week.
man, you know, I'm so blessed. I think every day, you know, I thank the Lord for the position I'm put in, because I believe every day is a good day to be Johnny Hecker. You know, I try not to define myself through my, you know, football performance, but, you know, rather how I live my life, how I treat others, and, you know, the way I, you know, represent my faith and my, you know, my belief in the team. So, I mean, I try not to live too much through my performance, but I just try and just focus on the moment and do my best in every moment, you know, whether it's being a football player, being a friend, being a teammate, being a guy in a line at a grocery store, whatever it is, I just try to be my best. So that's one thing I focus on. So, you know, I'm really blessed every day. So it's
now,
nothing
Johnny,
special.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, it's, you know, I try not to think of it as anything too special, but, it, you know, having success on the field definitely makes you know, enjoying life a little easier.
Now, Johnny, take us through your first NFL touchdown pass. Take us through that play.
You know, we had the call coming in from the sideline. Danny was in there on the play on third down. You know, we keep an offensive lineman on the sideline that would otherwise be on the field goal operation team. Danny just hides out on the sideline. We get a couple guys a little late getting to the ball. Had a little bit of miscommunication. I looked, didn't see Danny. But, you know, we snapped the ball, got it off. Our kicker, you know, he said, snap it, he's there. So, you know, we snapped the ball. I stand up, find him right there in the corner of the end zone, completely wide open. I just throw him the ball, and he catches it, and it's 6 points for the Rams. That was an amazing blessing to be a part of that. I know there's a lot of players in the league still have yet to throw a touchdown pass. And, you know, I just consider myself very lucky to be playing for a coach that likes to take chances like that and really get opportunities to make the other teams pay.
And those passes sometimes are the hardest when a guy is wide open there. Those are sometimes
right.
The hardest passes to throw.
Right, yeah. It came off my hands. It was a little high. Had a little bit of anxiety. It was going through the air there a little bit. But, you know, it came down, nice spiral right into Danny's hands. And, you know, everyone was happy. We got the points on the board we wanted. And, you know, it ended up being big in the grand scheme of things.
And a lot of people don't notice about you, but you were a high school quarterback. So you do
right.
have the skills to make that
right.
particular pass. And maybe we'll see more passes out of Johnny Hecker this year.
Man, maybe, you know, if I would have thrown that incomplete, we probably wouldn't be expecting to see many more passes. But,
right.
you know, we got that one down. And, you know, I'm just just kicking the ball until my number's called to throw it again, and then hopefully we'll make another team pay here.
How many calls did you get after that game? Did you get a lot of calls? Was your cell phone blowing up?
Yeah, I mean, my cell phone was off in the locker room, so as soon as I turned it back on, you know, got the buzzing going for a good 5 minutes, you know, text messages and messages and everything. But, you know, I was just quick to see what my family was saying and call them back and just, you know, just kind of sharing the moment with them. Because, I mean, they're from Seattle and had a bunch of friends watching the game. You know, I went to school in Oregon. Seattle's kind of Oregon's team as well. So, you know, there were a lot of eyes on that game. I had a lot of support after the game, a lot of people razzing me saying, oh, man, you beat the Seahawks. You know, I was saying, dang right, we beat the Seahawks. It was awesome. So, you know, I couldn't be more proud of the way we played as a team. It was a great team win. You know, the same could be said about the Arizona win. You know, we just fought till the end and, you know, just pulled out wins. That's what we got to do to win close games. You got to have, you know, special teams production. You got to make those big plays on special teams, is what our coach says. And we put that on ourselves every week to make sure that we, you know, get out there and make that big play to help, you know, swing the game in our favor.
Talking to Rams punter Johnny Hecker, and you talked about the coaching. How is it playing with Jeff Fisher? Playing under Jeff Fisher, I should say.
Oh, man, it's a dream come true. You know, I mean, playing in the NFL, you know, is a great opportunity as it is. You know, you've heard this and that from other players that have been around, different coaches and different, you know, systems they have in place, and I know how lucky I am to be in the position I am. You know, with the team that I'm with right now in St. Louis, it's just an amazing blessing. We have a bunch of guys who are in the locker room that, you know, genuinely care about each other and care about the team. You know, it's an entirety. And, you know, we have coaches that are up in their offices, you know, working very hard. You know, a special teams coach, you know, is one of the most hardworking guys I know, stays there and, you know, is up prepping film very late. I know the rest of our coaches do the same thing. And, you know, we're all single-minded in that we want to win, and we want to win now. So in order to do that, we got to prepare and really make sure we're putting forth our best effort every Sunday or Thursday, whenever the game is, but that we're ready to play and that we're going to kick some butt.
And you guys are 3-2, one game behind the first place Arizona Cardinals in the NFC West. Are the Rams legitimate playoff contenders?
I mean, it's a little early to say that, but I would like to think so. I mean, still have a lot of season to come, but you know, I think the way we're playing now, we all believe it, and, you know, we're all on board pushing to, you know, win a Super Bowl, and, you know, we got to win playoff games and make it to the playoffs first, but, you know, that's all we're all working for.
And real quickly now, Johnny, you were an undrafted free agent. You signed with the Rams, and ultimately you made the roster. Does that make where you're at all the more sweeter?
Definitely. I mean, I wake up and got to pinch myself kind of every day. I'm just so blessed to be where I am. You know, I've had many friends who have, you know, had opportunities to do great things, but things just didn't, you know, the cards didn't fall in the right place for them. But, you know, I just thank God every day for where I am, the wonderful people that God placed around me to help, you know, bring me up as a football player and as a young man. And I'm, you know, just blessed to be where I am. And I love St. Louis, and you know, I'm thinking the city's starting to love the team, and it's just a great thing.
And God truly has been good to you. Your Rams are 3-2. You're punting the ball well. You had a touchdown pass. I mean, again, it's great to be Johnny Hecker. Johnny, it was a pleasure talking to you, man. We wish you nothing but the best of luck. And I know you're on Twitter. Real quickly, what is your Twitter handle?
Sir. Twitter handle is at jhecker, J-H-E-K-K-E-R. Follow me. Crack jokes, post funny pictures. Still working on getting Greg the Leg on Twitter. I know everyone's big into that whole topic, so I'm working on it. You know, he's just a country boy from Nebraska. He's still working on getting technology down, but he's slowly coming around.
And hopefully he will. And Johnny, again, a pleasure talking to you, man. Wish you nothing but the best of luck, and let's do it again.
Likewise, Paul. Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
All right. Thank
Rams
you.
Punter Johnny Hecker. Like I said, it's a great week to be Johnny Hecker. Throws a touchdown pass against the Seattle Seahawks. Booming the ball the other day against the Arizona Cardinals. 56 yards average per punt. So, Johnny, it's a good week to be Johnny Hecker. I know he downplayed a little bit, but it's a good week to be Johnny Hecker. It's a good week to be the St. Louis Rams, who went 2-0. Won the game Sunday against the Seattle Seahawks on Thursday night at home beat the previously undefeated Arizona Cardinals. So it's a good time to be Johnny Hecker, and he fought his way onto the roster, undrafted, free agent, fought his way on the roster, won the job, and ultimately is really, really playing some good football for the St. Louis Rams, and his Rams are now 3-2. And in the mix in the NFC West, oh, what a difference years make. A couple years ago, we were talking about this as one of the worst divisions ever. And now this division has really, 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 you look at this division and you look at what's going on and how different it is. This division, I mean, the defenses in this division is just absolutely ridiculous, the type of defensive play that you're getting in the NFC West. I mean, you're getting some big-time defense being played in that division. Big-time defense being played in that division. And Seattle, big-time defense. Big-time defense in Seattle. Arizona, they play well against St. Louis, and they did well defensively against St. Louis, but and they have a very good defense. I saw one chink in that Arizona defensive armor, though. You can run the ball against that defense. I remember the Eagles against the Cardinals. When they committed to the run, they had some success. And the Rams also had some success against Arizona. And the one thing, and I'm talking about the defense in the NFC West, but let me stop here on the Cardinals. The one thing about this team, if you look at the Arizona Cardinals, defensively, they're good. They're 13th defensively, 13th in defense, and holding limiting teams in points per game. So they're doing what they have to do points per game-wise. They're doing what they have to do, and then they're just playing some good defense in Arizona. I mean, right now they're ranked, like I said, 15th in defense, but they're only giving up 15 points a game, only allowing 15 points a game. So they're doing it defensively in Arizona and playing well enough each and every week to win games. You give up 17 points, give up 15 points, that gives your defense, your offense, I should say, enough. That should give your offense enough to win a game. It should. But you look at their offense, and this is an offense in Arizona that is struggling. The offense is struggling. I mean, as a whole, this is an offense that is struggling. This is an offense that is really, really struggling. They're really struggling in Arizona as an offense. And they're ranked 31 in terms of total offense. Ranked 31 in total offense. So, and you watched them the other last week. Kevin Cobb was harassed. And it's an issue with that offensive line. I mean, the Dolphins got after him. And this week, Thursday night, I should say, St. Louis got after him as well. So they got after him. They really got after him. Really got after him. And it was a struggle for Kevin Cobb. I mean, he got beat up in 2 weeks in a row. Well, in a span of less than 2 weeks, actually, because it was a Thursday night game. But he got beat up. He really did get beat up. So you wonder what's going to happen moving forward, Arizona. This is a team that's struggling. They're struggling. They're struggling on the offensive side of football. And I don't believe in their quarterback situation. And until Kevin Cobb is their quarterback, whether it's Kevin Cobb or John Skelton, I don't believe. But maybe it'll change. We shall see. You're listening to Go For It on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Corey Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Picturica on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man Paulie G and Jeremy. Get it!
And we're back. And we're back. Final half hour of Go For It. And it starts now. It's a pleasure being joined by Johnny Hecker. We had Johnny on before the NFL draft, and You know, as a kicker, as a punter, more often than not, you're going to get drafted, not going to get drafted. So you're going to sign as an unrestricted, or you're going to sign as a rookie free agent, and you're going to have to fight your way onto a roster. And that's what he did. He fought his way onto a roster. And, you know, Johnny Hecker has been impressive this year, has had a good year for the St. Louis Rams, has had a good year for the St. Louis Rams, has really put in work for the Rams. And this is a Ram team, like I said, 3-2 and in the mix. They are in the mix, and it's a whole different team with Jeff Fisher in the mix. Whole different team with Jeff Fisher as the coach. Whole different team. Whole different team. And so this team is a much better team than they were a year ago. And obviously it's paying dividends. I mean, they only won 3 games last year. They've equaled that at this point. They've equaled that already. They have equaled that mark already. 3-3. 3-3. And again, all you Cardinals lovers out there who was touting the Cardinals, as long as Kevin Cobb is their quarterback, the Cardinals will not. I won't believe in them. I can't believe in them. I cannot believe in their quarterback situation at this time. I cannot believe in their quarterback situation at this time. I don't believe in it. And I don't think you're going to have a hard time convincing me to believe in that situation. You really are. You really are going to have a hard time convincing me that the Arizona Cardinals are for real. They're a good football team with a good defense, but their quarterback play is not good enough to win in this league. It's not, and it won't be. And we talked about it briefly with Willie Rowe, but I want to go back to it now. Big game in Pittsburgh, the Battle of Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Eagles, Steelers, and the Eagles coming off an impressive victory against the New York Football Giants, 19-17 victory. No turnover in the game for the Eagles. Michael Vick, turnover free. The team as a whole, turnover free. It was a turnover free game for the Eagles. A turnover free game for the Philadelphia Eagles. They played well. They played well. Philadelphia played very well. Defensively, it was just a typical NFC East battle between the Giants and the Eagles. Hard fought, hard hitting, physical football. And I look at this game against the Steelers, and just from the standpoint, okay, the Steelers, they are getting James Harrison back. They are getting Troy Polamalu back. But this game, to me, the NFL is the ultimate. It's a week-to-week league. I say it all the time. I say it all the time, and I reiterate that. It is a week-to-week league. So because of that, Because of a week-to-week league, the reality is Steelers coming off a bye. The Steelers coming off a tough loss against the Raiders. The Steelers 1-2, and Steelers at home. To me, I put that in a pot. I put the Steelers 1-2 in a pot. I add a little bit of coming off a bye week. I stick in a little bit of being 1-2. And lastly, I pour in being at home. And to me, I put that all together. I mix it in a pot, stir it around a little bit. And to me, I look at that and I say that the Pittsburgh Steelers win this game. I can't see the Eagles going in to Pittsburgh with all those things, all those ingredients. I can't see the Eagles going into Pittsburgh and winning that game. I can't. I can't see it. I wouldn't be surprised, obviously. I wouldn't be shocked. But to me, just everything favors the Steelers. Everything seems to favor the Steelers. And to me, it's not about what's going on the field. It's just about the situation. It's about the time. And now, I'm one who believes that the Eagles probably would have lost to the Giants. They may have won this game. But it's difficult. It's difficult going against a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers who are, 1-2. This is a team that's 1-2. This is a team that is 1-2. 1-2. It's a 1-2 football team, Pittsburgh. 1-2 team. So this is a team that's desperate for a win. They're desperate for a win. And so with that being said, I can't see the Steelers losing this game. I wouldn't be shocked, but I don't think it's going to happen. I just don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. And Steelers currently fifth in defense. And, again, they're getting some of their big boys back, Polamalu, Harrison. They're getting those boys back. And that's going to help. That's going to help them tremendously. That's going to help them tremendously. That's going to help this team a lot. But I just at this point, with the Eagles and the Eagles coming off a big victory against the Giants in prime time, I got a hard time seeing them being able to pick it back up again and get this high again to go into Pittsburgh. And it's going to take a big victory, big effort, I should say, to get a victory in Pittsburgh. It really is. It really is. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a competitive football game. But I just cannot see the Steelers losing this one. I don't see the Steelers losing this one. I don't. But we shall see. We shall see. And looking around the National Football League as well, and a lot of other great games, and, of course, Manning versus Brady, and that's always an exciting contest. And more often than not, it's favored Brady. It's favored Brady. But I look at this New England defense. I look at this New England defense still having some struggles, 20th in defense. So I say, you know what, you can make some plays on this team. You can definitely make some plays on this team. Manning can make some plays against this team. There's an opportunity. They're 20th in defense and 25 against the pass. So Peyton Manning, there's an opportunity for Peyton Manning to make some plays against this defense. And I think they will. I definitely think they will make some plays against this defense. And I like the Broncos and Peyton Manning to go into New England to avenge the playoff victory by the Patriots. And this is a game, when I was looking at in terms of the difference between Tebow and Peyton Manning, obviously it's a huge difference. We all know what Peyton Manning is. But the difference is here is you have an offense with Peyton Manning that you believe that this offense can score the football, can compete in a shootout situation. You have faith that they can do that, meaning the Broncos offense with Peyton Manning as the quarterback. You believe in that. You think that can happen. So you look at that, and I think, you know, I just think the Broncos will get it done here. I think Peyton Manning will have some success against that Patriot defense. I really do. And Brady's had his success against the Broncos defense as well over the years. Well, last year in both of the games that they played in the playoffs and also, I mean, in the playoffs, he was unstoppable. But again, Gronkowski is not 100%. Hernandez probably won't play. So the offensive line in New England is a little different than it was a year ago. So there is an opportunity, I think, here for the Denver Broncos. I think the Denver Broncos win this football game. I really do. I really do. I think the Denver Broncos win this football game. And I think Peyton Manning has a lot of success in this game. I really do. So I expect the Brady and Manning Bowl to be a victory for Peyton and the Denver Broncos. I really do. I think Peyton and the Denver Broncos get it done. I really do. And how about the Patriots last week against Buffalo? Buffalo got up on those boys early, and then the Patriots made a comeback. It's very similar to the game that the Bills and Patriots played a year ago. In the other way, actually, where you had the Patriots who jumped out early on Buffalo, and Buffalo came back and won the game. And here you have Buffalo who kind of jumped out a little early on the Patriots, and the Patriots coming back. So, but there's plays to be made against this Patriot defense. And I think the Broncos can make them. I really do. I think the Broncos can make them against this defense. And I think the Broncos will be successful in this game. I really do. And I like Peyton to win this one. I like Peyton to come out on top here. I really like Peyton to win this game. But we shall see. We shall see. And that's why you play the games. You play to win the games, no doubt. And anything can happen. And this is the NFL. This is the NFL. Anything truly can happen. Anything can truly happen in the NFL. The ultimate week-to-week league. Every week something different happens, something new. You believe at 1.0 Arizona is the truth, and they go to St. Louis and they lose. Oh, okay, you say San Francisco is the truth. Well, they go to Minnesota and they lose. So you don't know who the truth is, really. You really don't know who the truth is. And at this point, it's open. You think the Texans are the most complete team, and probably so. Probably so at this point. But the 49ers are good. They're a good football team. 49ers are a good football team. So, we'll see. We shall see. But the NFL, again, the ultimate week-to-week league. And anything can happen on any given Sunday. And that is the beauty of football. That is the beauty of the National Football League. The beauty of it. And that's what makes the NFL the NFL. That's what makes the NFL the NFL. Any given Sunday, anything truly can happen. The parity in this league, it's great. The NFL always wanted parity. The NFL always wanted parity, and they got it. They got it. They got it. They got parity. They've got what they wanted. Parity. They got the parity. They got the parity. And the NFL wanted this. The NFL wanted this. They wanted parity. They wanted it. They've always wanted it. And it's good. I mean, parity is great for the NFL. Parity is great. Parity is great in the NFL. It's great for the NFL. Great for the NFL. And that's what we got. That's what we got in the National Football League. We have parity. We have parity. We have parity. And you don't know. You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen week in and week out. You just don't know. You just don't know what can happen week in and week out. It changes so much. It changes so much. It really does. It's just so hard to get a gauge on what is what in the National Football League. It's so hard. I don't understand how people can bet on the football. I mean, I just don't understand how you can do it. It's just so hard to really, really get a true handle on what is what. It really is. It really is hard to get a handle on what is what. So, I mean, who's the best team in the NFL? Of course, you can say the Texans are right now. They seem to be the best. But I wouldn't be surprised if they went to the Jets on a Monday night and lose. Wouldn't be surprised at all. Wouldn't be shocked at all. Would not be shocked at all. Would not be shocked at all. Would not be shocked at all. And this weekend, and I want to switch to the Saints, and then I want to go to the Saints and Chargers. Now, we'll look at Drew Brees. I mean, Drew Brees is on the verge, and it's probably going to happen unless he gets hurt or anything, but he's on the verge of surpassing Johnny Unitas and throwing a touchdown in his 48th consecutive game. If he gets a touchdown this week against the San Diego Chargers, ironically, it's going to happen against the Chargers, a team that Drew Brees spent a lot of time with, and a team that chose Phillip Rivers over Drew Brees pretty much. And Drew Brees, you know, remember that final year in San Diego, he had the shoulder issue, and ultimately with the shoulder issue that Drew Brees had, he was eventually signed by the New Orleans Saints. I mean, he was going to be signed by you thought he was going to be signed by the Dolphins, remember, back when. The Dolphins probably wish they would have done that, but it is what it is. But anyway, Sean Payton will be at the game, and he will be able to see Drew Brees break the record. Well, at least having the opportunity to break the record. I don't see Drew Brees not being able to break the record. I mean, I'd be shocked if he doesn't break the record. Drew Brees is one of the best quarterbacks in football. It would be a shocker if he doesn't break the record. Only way he does not break the record is if he gets hurt. The Saints will put up points in this game. I think the Saints will win this game. Sunday Night Football, Sean Payton in the building, 0-4. I think those things are enough for me to favor the New Orleans Saints in this game. And I expect a big effort out of Drew Brees. Expect a big effort out of Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. They finally get off the schneid. They finally get their first victory this week against the San Diego Chargers. I like the Saints to finally get a victory this week against the San Diego Chargers. I expect the Saints to get their first victory, and I expect Drew Brees to be successful in getting that victory for the New Orleans Saints. He will break the record this week. Sean Payton will see it. And I think the motivation of having Sean Payton in the building, the motivation of being able to break the record, the motivation of being 0-4, the motivation of being in New Orleans on a Sunday night football game will be enough, I think, for the Saints to finally get a victory and finally get a win. Finally get a win. Finally, finally, finally get a win. Finally, it happens this week, folks. Saints fans, it happens. It happens for you this week. It happens. You were close against Green Bay. You were close against Kansas City. You finally get it done this week. You finally get your first victory. Drew Brees breaks the record, so you're going to be happy there. Sean Payton will be in the building, so you will be happy there. So a lot of happy things are going to be happening for you as a New Orleans Saints fan. A lot of happy things. A lot of happy things will be happening for the New Orleans Saints. A lot of happy things. Saints fans finally will be able to rejoice. They finally will be able to rejoice. And finally, get a victory. And it's crazy. I mean, who would think at this point that the Saints would be looking for their first victory in week 5? And that's the unpredictability of the NFL. Who would ever thought that? And then you couple that with last week, the Green Bay Packers were this close to being 1-3, and granted, they should be 2-2 anyway. They should have been 2-2 anyway going into that game, but or at least not 2-2, 2-1, I should say, going into that game, because we all know what happened with the Hail Mary against the Seattle Seahawks. But anyway, the Packers were this close to being 1-3. So you could have been in a situation where going into week 5, the New Orleans Saints, a team that made it to the divisional round last year, and the Green Bay Packers, another team who was in the divisional round last year, you could have been in a situation where the two teams that were in the divisional round of the NFC playoffs last year could have been at 1-3. That is amazing. That is amazing. And what's also amazing, what's going on in the NFC West, I talked about it, but I mean, it's amazing how much that division has turned itself around. It was the laughingstock of the league a few years back. A laughingstock. I mean, Seattle got in with an under 500 record. Seattle. A team that had no business being in the playoffs, got into the playoffs, and actually beat the Saints. They actually beat the Saints in the playoff game. So I guess they proved that they belonged on some level. I guess they proved they belonged on some level. But they were below 500 at 7-9, and they won the NFC West. Being below 500 and winning at your division, that's unheard of. But the NFC West has turned itself around. And a lot of big defenses in the NFC West. A lot of big defenses playing some big-time football in the NFC West. A lot of it. Big defenses playing big-time football in the NFC West. So, I mean, the NFC West has pretty much turned into the NFC, to the AFC North. Just a lot of hitting. A lot of hitting. Those defenses are getting it done in the NFC West. And could it be? Could it be? Could we get 2 to 3 teams out of the NFC West in terms of the playoffs? Cardinals 4-1. San Francisco playing well. Getting it done. They're getting it done, and St. Louis and Seattle, both of these two teams, in the mix, and playing good football. I mean, you got Arizona at 4-1, San Francisco at 3-1, and you have St. Louis at 3-2, playing good football, and Seattle at 2-2. So everybody is at least 500 or above in the NFC West. In the NFC West, but you look around, Minnesota 3-1 on top of the NFC North. Can they keep that up? Beating the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions, a team that's 1-3 right now. And a team I didn't think would make the playoffs when the year started. I didn't think they would make the playoffs, the Detroit Lions. I thought this was a team that was very fortunate. Very fortunate that Jay Cutler got hurt a year ago. Very fortunate that Jay Cutler got hurt and that Caleb Haney stunk up the joint. Because Caleb Haney stunk the joint up. He stunk the joint up a year ago for the Chicago Bears. Stunk the joint up. Awful. Just awful. Just awful. And I thought if Cutler was there and Forte was there, it would have been a whole different story. I don't think the Lions would have made the playoffs a year ago. But right now they're in the basement in the NFC North. In the basement. And how about the Atlanta Falcons now? Backs against the wall against Carolina. Matty Ice, big time bomb to Roddy White, got themselves in position to kick the field goal to ultimately win that game to move to 4-0. Is this finally the year for the Falcons? A team that a couple years back had the best record in the NFC but lost to the Packers in the playoffs. A team that last year against the Giants didn't even score a touchdown. Didn't even score an offensive touchdown. Lost 24-2. Matty Ice was not good in that game. Is this finally the year where the Falcons break through? Is it finally their year where they can finally put it all together? They're off to a good start. 4-0 is 4-0. They're off to a good start. They are off to a good start. And I talked about the Jets earlier, and believe it or not, even though they're 2-2, even though they played some bad, bad football against San Francisco, didn't look good against San Francisco at all, they looked like a team that just didn't belong on the same field with the San Francisco 49ers. And each and every time they have stepped up, meaning the Jets, they went to Pittsburgh, they stepped up against the Steelers, lost 27-10, and then they step up against the 49ers step up in terms of competition, and they lose 34-0. Their victories against the Buffalo Bills, who are at 2-2, but they're not well beaters. And another victory against the Miami Dolphins, who are at 1-3. The Jets, as bad as they played, as bad as they looked Sunday against the San Francisco 49ers, losing 34-0, they're still a team that, if you look at it, they're right there in the division race. They're 2-2. They're tied for first place in the AFC East. They're tied for first place. Buffalo, New England, and the New York Jets. So they're there. They're right there. So if they can get some better play from Sanchez and some better play from the offense, who knows? They're there. They're right in the mix. They're 2-2, and they're right there. They're tied for first place. And judging by the way people are talking about the Jets, you're surprised to hear that. But they're tied for first place with the New England Patriots going into week 5. So you're there. You have an opportunity. You're there. You're there. You are there. We shall see what happens. We shall see what happens with the Jets. And they have a big one against the Texans. Again, I think they're going to lose to the Texans. But I will say this. Don't be surprised if the Jets come out with a big-time effort. Rex Ryan going off in the post-game press conference after the 49ers game, doing a little cussing, getting a little upset. Don't be surprised if they're motivated on a Monday Night Football game at the Meadowlands, at MetLife Stadium. Don't be surprised now if the Jets come out with a big effort. Don't be surprised. Because I think the Jets may come out with a big effort this week against the Texans. Don't think they'll win, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did. But I think you're going to see a big-time effort out of the New York Jets. You will see a big-time effort out of the New York Jets. A team right now, 2-2. A team right now struggling in terms of the offense. Don't have many weapons on the offensive side of football. But a team that's right there in the mix. A team that's right there in the mix. We'll see if the New York Jets can step up and get it done against the Houston Texans. We shall see. But don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. As bad as the Jets played, they're 2-2 and tied for first place in the AFC East. 2-2 and tied for first place in the AFC East. That's not bad. And you're right there in the mix. Just got to turn this thing around. I don't think there's a talent. I don't think there's enough talent to turn it around, especially on the offensive side of football. But you never know. Rex Ryan has motivated this team in the past. And maybe he can do it again. They're going to need it. They're definitely going to need it moving forward. They're definitely going to need it. They're going to need some kind of motivation if they're going to be successful. They're going to need it. They're definitely going to need it. I just don't think talent-wise they have enough. I don't think talent-wise they have enough. I really don't. And because of that, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I don't think they make the playoffs. I said that at the beginning of the year. I don't think the Jets make the playoffs. And I don't think they will this year. And you wonder, and then I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but you wonder, if they don't make the playoffs this year, how hot that seat would be for Rex Ryan. How hot that seat will be for Rex Ryan if they don't make the playoffs. We shall see. We were expected to be joined by Keith McCants and Cliff Floyd from the 30 for 30 documentary, but they weren't able to call in, and we're going to look to reschedule those guys in the future and talk to them about that great documentary. But we were expected to be joined by those two guys, but we're going to try to get them on in the next few weeks. But I want to thank Johnny Hecker of the St. Louis Rams for stopping by. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, at jhecker. That's J-H-E-K-K-E-R. Also want to thank Willie Rowe, Hall of Famer, for stopping by. Make sure you Willie's not on Twitter anymore, but make sure you follow us on Twitter, at GoForItGain. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, at GoForItGain. You can listen to this show and other great shows at blogtalkradio.com/PGain, where you can listen to this show and other great shows. And again, follow the show on Twitter, at GoForItGain. For everybody, here at GoForIt, have yourself a great week. Join us here again next weekend, 1 o'clock Eastern time on blogtalkradio.com/PGant. See you later. Take care.